Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. Got a great show for you tonight, and I want to welcome everyone back after a crazy weekend, and or a nice, peaceful weekend, depending on what you did. For most of us, it's been crazy. Let's see, where are we? We're at December the 8th. Already we have completed the first week and a day in 2008, December. My goodness. On the East Coast now, in the Central Time Zone, it's December the 9th, in case you happen to be looking at a digital clock. Wow. So we're actually another day into the month. Time is really speeding up, isn't it? And lots of other things are speeding up. The corruption around the nation, particularly in governments, is speeding up. The corruption with the banks, the mortgage companies, the finance companies, the religious institutions. Oh, it just doesn't end. And now they want to bail out the three American automotive, the three biggies, we'll call it, GM, Ford, and what's the other one anymore? I don't even know. It's almost a joke what's going on. I guess you can fail now at whatever you do, and the reward is billions and billions and billions of dollars that belong to other people. It's total insanity what's going on, total corruption. I've heard a few talk show hosts make a comment generally describing Congressman Barney Frank as the new CEO of General Motors, and that's probably accurate. I'm just wondering when they're going to give it to Bill Clinton or Rudy Giuliani or somebody like that. It doesn't matter what political party one belongs to. They're two sides of the same coin. We know that. And as you know, if you've been listening to this show for the past 3 weeks, you've heard me steer it in another direction based upon sovereignty, freedom, individual responsibility, and individual empowerment. And we're going to continue that theme. It bears repeating. We've been propagandized, mind-controlled, and brainwashed most of our lives. So we can't talk about these things enough. There is quite a bit of information that is not reported by the mainstream that we talk about on this show, that I write about as a journalist, and that many of my guests write about as well. And certainly if they're not even writing, they're talking about it on this show. And so we don't ask you to believe anything. All we ask is that you do some research and find out for yourself if what we tell you is not the truth. With that, I'm going to move on with this evening's guest, or this morning, depending on where you are in the country. This gentleman is an environmental scientist. He's an herbologist, a chemist, a historian, and a musician. And he's my good friend and yours, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks for inviting me back.
Always a pleasure. I always have some of the listening audience writing in, asking for us to talk about your areas of expertise. And so we'll be spending some time talking about health and Michael's private stock and some of the results that folks are having from having taken your wonderful products. you just to touch on a very interesting topic, which is actually transpired within the last day or so. This lawsuit to have Barack Obama produce his legitimate papers, we'll say, was dismissed today. This is the Leo D'Onofrio lawsuit that was before the Supreme Court. They dismissed it. What's your take on that?
Well, to say it's discouraging would be an understatement for sure. I'm really outraged that the highest court in our country refuses to acknowledge a major concern of criminality, fraud in our election system for some people that were running for our highest office, which is the executive branch, our president. So if there's some kind of questionable concerns regarding now Barry Sotoro, who goes by Barack Hussein Obama now, if there's some questionable concerns regarding his legitimacy of being a truly natural-born American that is eligible to run to be our president, then the Supreme Court, if they're really on the side of freedom, liberties, the Constitution, and all they swore an oath to uphold, and the current American people living in this country, that all abide by the same laws, if the Supreme Court is ignoring this issue, Don, I consider it high treason. And I really don't have any respect for any of those individuals now on that Supreme Court. And I'll look for the day of accountability for all of them and everyone else committing and perpetrating this high crime and treason in our country.
Yeah, now, if I can comment just briefly, you know, I had Carl Pearson on the show a couple of weeks ago, and Carl brought out a very good point. And he talked about the issue of justicia, or whether or not this case could actually be heard, because the Supreme Court determines it's going to stay out of political issues. Yet, and this is the interesting yet, is they interfered with the 2000 election, didn't they? You remember the hanging chads? So mm-hmm. The precedence is there. I don't understand why no one is challenging that on the basis that they have established a case law in that regard. In other words, they say, well, they don't get involved in the politics. That's a civil issue, and they're not there to judge a civil issue. Well, there have been crimes committed in light of the fact that these documents are forged.
Mm-hmm.
And am I crazy, or did I just fall off the turnip truck yesterday? Maybe that's what's happened, and I'm just not understanding this. How they cannot see.
It's either that, Don, or we have woken up in the country now where our representatives in the legislative branch of government, the judicial branch of government, and the executive branch of government are all in contempt of denying and upholding the law, the highest laws of this land. The president must be born in the United States. Otherwise, the person does not qualify to be or to run for that office. It's just that simple.
Yes, and I have stated, and you have, and we all have on this show numerous times, and it bears repeating again for the new listeners out there, that it doesn't matter whether or not the media reports this. The media lies anyway. The media is nothing but a propaganda tool, period. And if that's different, then I challenge anyone from the mainstream media to come on this show and debate me. Okay? I swear. That's all the swearing I'm going
to
do. But I'm telling you,
I'd like to crack him too, Don, if you get that far.
I don't care anybody, and you know, I have great respect for the journalism of Lou Dobbs, but I see him reined in, and Keith Olbermann, And the rest of them I can't stand, I have to tell you. So I will debate anybody in the mainstream media, whether it's TV, radio, print media, I don't care. I will debate any of them on these issues.
They don't have the nerve, Don. But I do, I agree. I respect Lou Dobbs tremendously. And sure, they're keeping him reined in. And also the other gentleman you mentioned, I've heard him make some good patriotic comments in the past regarding the criminal conduct coming out of the Bush administration. Now, let's see how they are with this new administration.
Or for that matter, anybody in Congress or the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, you've never heard me talk like this before, but this has gotten to a place now where the people who are supposed to uphold the law, you know, the Supreme Court is about upholding the law. And number one, I put God's laws first. You know, to hell with the 23 million laws that they created that they break every day of the week, every minute and every second of every day.
That's right.
The lies that come out of these people's mouths. Did you happen to hear the story of the five Guantanamo prisoners that, according to Fox News, they've come out and they've decided that they want to confess to their involvement in 9/11? What a crock. First, now, what are they, the guys that sold the box cutters? Is that what they did?
So after 10 years of torture, they finally got some guys confessing, huh?
You know, 19 Arab hijackers, and we know at least 10 of them have been tracked down by Dr. Qasem Khalil in the Mideast, and he's written about that and wrongly blamed. He's been on the show a number of times talking about that, and these people are still alive. And, you know, 19 terrorists with box cutters brought down three skyscrapers
right in
New York. That's basically what they're saying.
With two weeks of flight training.
And they ripped a huge hole in the Pentagon, and they brought down a plane in Pennsylvania. Come on.
All with 2 weeks of intense flight training on how to handle a 757.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's everything's a big lie coming out of the media and just about every politician, and it is disgusting for those like us that love our country and what the founding fathers and every previous generation had done to keep this country going with the freedoms and liberties that we've all enjoyed to some degree in our lifetime. This is so disgusting and pathetic to know that criminals are running amok all throughout our government, local, county, state, federal, but we're keying in on the federal criminals right now in the Washington District of Criminals. And it's so outrageous because they're getting away with it still. And I am living for the day when there's accountability.
Well, you know, come to think of it, I would take on Bernanke from the Federal Reserve or Henry Paulson from the Treasury, too. I'd talk to any one of them on this show, you know, but here's the thing. I will ask the questions, and I will make the accusations that they know are true, you see, but you have to get them to crawl out from underneath the rock that they're hiding under.
But they will never allow themselves, they will not submit themselves to the light of day. They need the dark shadows in order to carry on with their conduct.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, this past Saturday, I was on another network in the afternoon. I had actually even announced it to my listening audience. I was on Greg Evenson's Voices from the Heartland. And Greg is number one, a patriot. He is an excellent writer. I think it's WorldNet Daily. He has been writing. He wrote a beautiful piece that has gotten a lot of coverage. And he has got a background in law enforcement, and he's got a doctorate in criminal justice. So
yes, I'm a fan of Greg and his show. Excellent work.
And I had the opportunity in the show to discuss two particular topics. One was the bogus background of the Dunham family. This is the Obama mother, and I use mother with reservation, surrogate mother or babysitter, it would be a better example, and the grandparents, and disclosed a lot of facts about, and I've done it on this show again, but I got really into the meat of the issue, and Greg was astounded. And this is a man that's worked his whole life in law enforcement and solving cases and doing research and digging up facts, you know, to bring about justice. And he was in many moments during the 2 hours that I was on the show. I was on there with Drew Raines also. Drew was talking about some of the issues of troop movements and how they're confiscating the high-powered weapons from our bases, and they're secreting them in Arkansas. Fort Chaffee.
They're cleaning out the National Guard ammo reserves.
Yeah. So they're basically, what they're doing is they're leaving our country in a position, you know, to be attacked and defenseless.
Clearly.
Drew brought up a lot of issues, but we talked about these things, and I had an opportunity, the first part of the show, good 40 minutes or so, talked about the bailout and the actual cause, not what they tell us, but the actual cause of and what they're doing in general terms to rape the American people, to literally steal property.
Yes. Let me just go to Thomas Jefferson's quote.
Sure.
To respond to your opening comments about these big corporation bailouts and how absurd it is. They've made billions and billions and billions of dollars, and now we're bailing them out? Come on. Thomas Jefferson warned us, if the private central banks and the corporations that grow up around them are allowed to exist in our country, then eventually the generations to follow us will wake up one day and find out that the country their forefathers had conquered for them has been taken from them. And geez, aren't we there right now?
And that was in the 1700s he wrote that. Think about that. That's over 200 years ago. Well, no, 200 years ago. Over 200
right.
years ago.
Yeah, over 200 now. And that's exactly our situation. The private, illegal Federal Reserve Bank, neither federal nor reserve, privately owned by foreigners with the Rockefellers here, control our entire money supply. Once you control the money, as Lord Rothschild, who's one of the primary stockholders of the privately owned Federal Reserve, the Rothschilds of Europe, when Lord Rothschild made a statement in the mid-1800s, give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws, because if I own the money of that country, I own the politicians, is what he was saying. Mm-hmm. So here we are. All our politicians sold us out, and now this illegal Federal Reserve and all the corporations that it has created, that it controls all of them, these privately owned stockholders of the Federal Reserve are the primary stockholders of every major corporation that exists in our country, that all went global. They all took all the good middle-class paying jobs and went to communist countries or third world countries with them. And now here they are at the point where they're coming back and repossessing all of the property that we're struggling to hold on to, but we can't because of the debt-based system they've got us trapped in.
Well, those are agreements that they made behind closed doors with their chums. As far as I see it, they're responsible.
Absolutely.
Not us. They did that on their own.
It's conspiracy, Don.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad you left out that word that I hate that they use, you know, to try to discredit what we're talking about here.
that it's just a theory?
Yeah. Yeah. I get email from folks all over the world now, and I'm quite amazed by the take that foreigners have. They know, you know, they listen to the show. They know from listening to it and other shows out there that there are people in this country that care about what's going on and know, but they are still amazed at the amount of ignorance by the general public to really see what's going on. They know they're looking at it from the outside, you understand? Mm-hmm. They're outside. They're in a box of their own. Don't get me wrong.
Their countries are in the same predicament, that's for sure.
Yeah. But they saw 9/11 and they saw a less propagandized version of the events on 9/11, and they know who in foreign countries were involved with this too. And I'm not talking about Middle Eastern countries. I'm talking about Israel or France or England, Germany, and even Russia. You also have to acknowledge Russia because of the connections that have been there for a long time, mm-hmm. way before World War II, even before World War I. Recently, I've been reading Peter Moon's The Black Sun. And I'm... I'd heard about the book. I always intended to read it, and a listener actually sent me a copy as a birthday present, and I began reading it and seeing the parallels in my research. In this book, there's a lot of information that I've learned because of the conversations and the type of research that Peter Moon has done, actually. This is all about the Nazi connection to Montauk and the Nazi connection to Tibet.
Yes.
And the Vril Society and its foundation and
all the black magic.
Yeah, it's astounding, the research that he did. But what I'm finding is that even though I didn't embark upon revealing the things that he reveals in the book, I can draw parallels to my research, and it all fits together, you know, like a tapestry.
Absolutely. Yes, it does. And that book, the opening, right after the first page with the photograph of the Vril disc or the flying saucer, the Nazi flying saucer. It's a phenomenal book. And mm-hmm. and the bottom line to it all comes down to immortality, the Nazis in pursuit of immortality. And, you know, like we covered in the past, when you get into all of this, you'll find out that ultimately everything in history is always coming down to one thing, pursuit of immortality.
Mm-hmm. And the revelations about the level of mind control, it supports what Bryce Taylor wrote in her book, Kathy O'Brien, Arizona Wilder, Cisco Wheeler, and many others who have come forward, not just the women, but they talk about the sexual magic that Aleister Crowley practiced, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. he gets into some details. He draws parallels with L. Ron Hubbard, mm-hmm. and, of course, he's the founder of Dianetics and Scientology, and that was secretly kept out of the mainstream when SRI and their, which is Stanford Research Institute, also, when they yeah. began working on the remote viewing program, mm-hmm. which was CIA and then Naval Intelligence actually running that,
along with the John Parsons laboratory, JPL.
Yes, yeah, and Peter Moon goes into that too, yeah.
Which is supposed to be the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, but it was really John Parsons all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were into black magic. That's what it's all about. It's about magic, either good magic, which would be white magic, or the good sciences, or black magic, which is using science for selfish, evil purposes. And that's mm-hmm. really what black magic is. And the Nazis were in the thick of it.
Absolutely. And he goes into the whole issue of the Zionists trying, and the Nazis too, because the Nazis, in my estimation, were the Zionists, actually.
Yes.
Or are the Zionists.
Yes.
And they're just hiding behind these labels, he goes into quite a bit of detail about the level of programming that goes on to where they actually, induce demon possession, or he describes some of these beings as hideous beasts. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even give them this magical distinction of being a demon. He really gets into the nitty-gritty of what transpired there, the technologies that were used, the Philadelphia experiment. And I've talked to Al Bielek at length, and about a good many topics, and it all fits. Everything in that fits. Mm-hmm. Even my research in Circuit Chautauqua, he goes into a lot of detail about the what people named the Bund, the Bund in German is pronounced B-U-N-D.
Right.
The D is pronounced like a T. The Bund was the group of people who were the Nazi settlers on East Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And however, the meetings that they had were not called the Bund meetings. They were called the Bon or Bon, B-O-N.
Right.
And that is the connection to Tibet. The mm-hmm. Bon and the Mon, M-O-N, from Mongolia, or all the way back to Genghis Khan.
It's really Bon, Don, Bon, okay? And so when you now see the connection to the Orient, Taliban?
Yeah, well, that's a different pronunciation, but I'm just, for the listeners, I'm giving them the German pronunciation.
Yeah, well, that was their secret religion. Bone, but I pronounce it Bon because I think that's really the extension today with this synthetic organization that's man-made for this act of terrorism so they can advance an agenda for New World Order, UN control of everything. And Taliban, I find that very, very coincidental.
Well, there were many connections he made with the Cameron name. And
yes,
the Wilson name, in
That's
fact,
right.
And of course we had Woodrow Wilson as a president during during the particular time that he was focusing this investigation, or the time period in which he was focusing his investigation on, and he was chasing a lead of a lady named Cameron, and when he actually interviewed her, she said, "My name is really Wilson." Which was just another synchronicity. He basically talks about the innumerable synchronicities occurring in his research and his investigation. Sometimes waiting a whole year till he finally uncovered a piece of information. And I can relate to that because I literally went through the same thing myself, but not through interviewing people, just looking at documents.
That's just all part of the process as we're pursuing truth and attempting to acquire vast amounts of it on a given topic in particular. It's all part of the process. When you study all his works from the Montauk Project to Montauk Revisited to the Pyramid Talk, then the Black Sun, you'll be just totally amazed with all the crazy synchronicities that led him on. Because when he wrote the first book, the Montauk Project, he admits he didn't believe it. He just heard this crazy story from the electronics expert. And as he got to know him, Peter Nichols, and then next thing you know, synchronicities, one thing leading to another. Next thing he realizes.
Preston Nichols.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, Yep, and it leads him to the second book, Montauk Revisited, where, holy smokes, it's all true. And all more crazy synchronicities. But Pyramids of Montauk, Don. Now, what intrigued me about that right off the get-go was the photographs showing pyramids at the beach of Long Island.
Yes.
Along the beach. And apparently the military had only the caps, the top of the pyramids, were jetting up through the sand. So you see the peaks of pyramids. Apparently the military, during the war, decapped them so they weren't obvious. And the Native Americans of that area of Long Island, back in the 1700s when the colonials were coming over and started living with them and mingling with them, interestingly, those natives of Montauk area, the chief's family name was Pharaoh. And you got pyramids right there. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. And that has been a perpetual struggle for those people to get their holy lands, you know, their sacred lands back. They've covered that up, and even though they claim that this is a dead project, that they shut it down, it's still going on. We know that. We can feel that it's still going on. And it has been ever since they started it. The descriptions of the catacombs underneath is very interesting too, and the stash of Nazi gold that they brought in submarines.
During World War II, the Nazis were coming into the coastline there of Long Island at nighttime. You could see all the periscopes, like a forest of trees. And to this day, there is a huge German population in that area.
Oh yes, and it was also. Or it still remains, I guess, a stronghold of the Ku Klux Klan, too.
Wow.
Yeah. So we wonder where these things begin, or, you know, what the ideology is that keeps them, going.
You have that Aryan, that Nazi Aryan philosophy of the superior race. And that's probably where it's coming from. But the bottom line for the real black magicians behind it all, Hitler, the Nazis, they're all puppets, like you said. The real men, the power men, the Zionists behind the scenes using all these situations, circumstances, and individuals to suit their own purposes. And they were pursuing technology and the arts of alchemy, precipitating matter out of nothing. And they apparently acquired that with the aid of technology from the Montauk experiments, and they were able to start with an electronic apparatus sitting in a chair. Your thoughts would precipitate into matter, into reality, whatever those thoughts were.
Yeah,
so it's very intense.
Yeah, so we're dealing there with a multi-dimensional, it's a project focused on understanding and recreating the fabric of time, which was the focal point.
Yes, now, that's right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was also going to mention that also the Nazis discovered the morphogenetic grid. And again, that would be using the 100th monkey effect to conceptualize this morphogenetic grid, where these anthropologists noticed these monkeys on these islands, where they happened to be with these monkeys. They never figured out how to drop a coconut from the top of a tree so they could easily break it open. So they show one monkey how to do it. Over a short span of time, they now discover all the monkeys on the rest of the islands in this adjacent area are all doing it too. So they realized, wow, this occurred telepathically, and it's called a morphogenetic grid. The Nazis were onto it. Long Island is the center.
Now, what's interesting is he mentions Alan Dulles and his participation in this whole thing. Of course, Alan Dulles is known as the first director of the CIA.
Dulles Airport, Washington.
Yes. What I recently discovered is, if you remember my Scherf piece.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, which was in the Idaho Observer. I wrote about Circuit Chautauqua. And primarily my interest was pinning down the first or one or more aliases for Otto Skorzeny. I knew Skorzeny had to have been in the United States prior to World War II. I was convinced that he was brought here as a young boy. And I found evidence of that. Yet, I found also going back. Now, I mentioned in the article that they had pulled the library off of the internet. There was a catalog of boxes that had all the names of the participants, and there were roughly 4,500 or 4,600 people who were part of this touring group that went around the country. And I saw it as an experiment in fascism, or, you know, it was programming, it was preparation, very subtle, very nationalistic, very German-oriented. And but more than German-oriented, it was Nazi-oriented. And I have no animosity toward regular German people.
That's right.
I'm speaking about, you know, they use the music to foster a certain feeling, a certain mindset, a certain patriotism. People. And they're telling these people how to live, and they have preachers and opera singers and these small German groups. In fact, when I started reading about the music, I knew that they were going to eventually disclose that it was imported German artists that they brought in to perform.
Mm-hmm.
I have a copy of the master list, and I went through the list, and I found a very interesting name. One of the participants of Circuit Chautauqua was none other than John Foster Dulles.
Wow.
That's a mind-blowing revelation.
It sure is. Right in with the Nazis from the beginning.
Yes. And so even though they pulled it off the internet...
and his brother, too.
Yes. Yes. It was Alan Dulles' brother. So this began in the late 1800s, and it went pretty much into the 1930s. You can assume it went up right to the time that the war was going on, although the study, I wouldn't base anything super credible on this study that was entered in an Ameritech contest.
Mm-hmm.
What I was more interested in was who was in there. And now, on the basis of what I've learned, I'm going to explore that even more, because I'm sure that just perusing through some of the names, I discovered Dulles, and I had to do a double take. Are you kidding me? So
yeah, no surprise.
Now, at that time, no one knew who he was,
right?
And this was the type of infiltration. They bragged about how they were going to bribe the immigration officials and certain people in the government, and they did it. They had to have bribed them to get in.
Of course,
when the Warburgs and company came in, the Harrimans and those that became the central bankers, they lied every time they came in to this country. They lied about who they were, their age, their name, or if their name was on the level, everything else was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that somebody that wasn't even living here in America, Paul Warburg, could actually be made a naturalized citizen is beyond me.
Wow.
So we had corrupt judges back then.
Yes.
We had a corrupt judge definitely in 1911 that did this. That was the year that he supposedly became an American citizen. And then I had I had him and other bankers coming into the country saying that they'd never been to the United States before, but I had records 10 years prior to that saying that they were American citizens. These are the types of lies that we have been exposed to. Of course, these have been covered up, but now they're being revealed. And these are the same people today doing this. Yes. Either the same families that are alive or their next of kin.
Absolutely. They carry on the work. They're born into it,
yeah,
raised up with it, and they carry on the work.
So I thought I'd mention that because that was a discovery I made just a few days ago, going through that list with the intent of looking at all the other names. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot to read, you know, that many names and really think about, have I seen this before? Does it make a connection with someone else? Many of those names could be fabricated, too.
Sure, but the bottom line is, from all of that, is that we've been infiltrated and our government is in control of foreigners and foreign agents. It's a domestic enemy. And right now we're dealing with the end result of all that activity for the last 100 years. The complete selling out of this country, lock, stock, and barrel. At the same time, sucking us dry, milking us till there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm. Now, many people refer to what's going on as treason, and in many cases it is, because mm-hmm. there are a number of the people working in the government that were born here. But there are many who cannot be traitors because they infiltrated the country.
Right. They're not
illegally.
American. Not American. Yep.
Okay, and I'm writing the book now. It's well underway. And I decided to call it The Infiltrators.
There you go.
So sort of coined a new word.
I can't wait to read it, Don. And that's exactly our situation. Most Americans are still unaware of this predicament. And therefore, they can't put their finger on why everything seems to be falling apart. As far as our country goes, everything's unraveling. Well, this is why. We have a domestic enemy. They're foreigners and they're foreign agents as well, which serve their purpose of creating this globalist agenda. And the United States and any other country that stands for liberty and freedom, so that's really us, has to go, mm-hmm. especially when we're Christian, because it's the Christian value set that scares them the most, because it's the Christian value set of we want to be independent. We only want to rely on God himself and our Lord for all of our needs and help in this, in getting through the obstacles in life. And we don't want government or anything to help us or feed us or give us a job. No. But so that they can't allow that. And also our acknowledgement of this higher power that is good and benevolent. And they don't want that at all because they're Satanists, Luciferians, with their black magic and devil worshiping activities. And so we're under heavy attack, and that's the reason why. And they're foreigners, and since they're foreigners, they're not committing treason, they are foreigners, and they're spies, and like all spies, the founding fathers would have hung them up as soon as they laid hands on them.
And by their own definitions, they're terrorists. In fact, If you were even to say, hey, even though they're infiltrators and they're not Americans, let's say they're Americans, they're committing treason because of the acts that they're performing at a time of war.
That's right. But Don, there you go. They're the terrorists. Thank you. That's exactly where it's emanating from. They're the ones generating fear 24/7, 365. Fear, fear, fear. And they're causing all of the traumas, because they're financing it. They financed the Bolsheviks that overthrew the Tsar of Russia. They financed the Nazis, the fascists. They financed Mao Zedong, Castro. Every enemy this country went to war with, they financed all from here out of New York. As crazy as that is.
And they financed it, yeah, through stolen gold, stolen jewels of millions they murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention what they make in the drug trade.
You got it.
Let's not forget about that. And
that's what
you
they
know,
do.
There's a submarine pool that was described there at Montauk, and a German lady who spoke really good English talked to Peter Moon and described the periscopes as a forest.
Yeah.
She said there were so many of these submarines, and that there's an underground dock where they can link up and then gain access to the tunnels.
And this was all during the war itself.
Yes, but it went on quite a bit afterwards. Now the preponderance of the stories was that they went to Argentina, and I don't doubt that they went by sub to Argentina. It's probably how they got Hitler and Eva Braun and mm-hmm. a few of the SS officers. Again, Moon goes into the issue of Rudolf Hess and how they were able to secret him into the program here, along with many, many other spies, the whole spy network. And
yeah, Reinhard Gehlen. Mm-hmm.
Well, Gehlen, yeah, he ended up actually having his own spy network named after himself, the Gehlen Organization. Borman, who they said died either committing suicide or being shot, shows up all over South America. I've got pictures. Ken Adachi has published pictures. Eric Orion had published some pictures that he got from Otto Scorzani. And these are get-togethers. These are weddings and anniversaries and Christmas parties and I say Christmas parties. I don't think they were Christians.
Black Christmas.
You know, the celebrations around the holiday season. They were get-togethers. Then mm-hmm. the pictures from Lake McDonald Lodge, where there's an underground base where people see flying saucers coming right out of the lake there in Glacier National Park.
Imagine.
This is the kind of things going on around this country and around the planet. And it's poo-pooed anytime anyone brings this up. But here we have yet another account of the same types of things. So I stand by the conclusions that I made in my genealogical research, and thank God for other authors out there that are revealing the truth to us in many other ways, because
yes.
This is not to be taken lightly. It's used specifically the way they're using it in the media today, television, radio, and the accounts of the sounds and the frequencies that people had to endure or still endure to this day. The mm-hmm. the account of the shooting down of Flight 800, which occurred a number of years ago.
Yeah, just shortly after 9/11.
Yeah.
Oh, was that before 9?
No, I think that was before 9/11, actually.
I'm thinking of a plane that went down right in the city after 9/11, unexplainable, how it fell apart. But yeah, the 800, where it was taken down by a missile over Long Island Sound.
Yeah, and he refers to it as a nuclear weapon. And it was supposedly accidental by the military, but if they knew the technology that they were using mm-hmm. at the time, they would have had to have revealed the whole thing. Well, he reveals it in that book. Mm-hmm. And he reveals also many people who were told not to talk to him, not to communicate with him. You got to take your hat off to him. He's got a tremendous amount of courage.
Yes, they're just phenomenal books. Great information, everyone. I have to get them. I read them all, but I don't have them. They were all borrowed, and I definitely want to get them into my collection because you could read them over and over. They're just so deep with information. But the bottom line for sure, the Nazis, very evil, into heavy-duty black magic and technology, and the average mind today has been so conditioned not to be aware of any of this stuff that it will be overwhelming to come to terms with all of this all at once. But it's all true.
And he goes into quite a bit of detail, not just about Aleister Crowley, but also H.P. Blavatsky and a lot of her beliefs, a lot of her teachings, and the role that women played in a lot of this, because they were into sex magic.
Yeah, that's their black magic. In order to in order to acquire the end result that they're aiming for, it required tremendous certain types of energies, and the surest way to get those energies generated was through sexual black magic. And Aleister Crowley was the master of all that, and so the Nazis were students and following him, and he demonstrated plenty to them. But Aleister Crowley was just one of the many, actually, that were in the black lodges of Bavaria, known as the Thule, T-H-U-L-E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really the nest of the vipers right there.
And that's got a direct relationship to Egypt and also to the Mon in Mongolia, which
to Tibet.
Is related to the same group from Tibet. Originally, they were from Tibet.
Yes. But so they were the cavern dwellers, not the lamas of the mountain regions up in the high altitudes. These were the black magician adepts that were dwelling in the lower areas of the mountains in Tibet, in the caverns. In the dark shadows, not in the light where the lamas dwelled at the top of the mountains.
Yeah.
So it's always that kind of background on those dark, sinister figures.
And then he goes into some accounts about we can call him Sasquatch, if you want to call him that. In Tibet, they refer to the same being as a Yeti, and they were seen all over Long Island, especially in the area of Montauk.
Right.
Quite interesting, because again, you have these caverns there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you also had Duncan Cameron, a son of Ewan Cameron, and he was the guy that they found to be very effective in that electronic chair for generating, for materializing thoughts.
And that was Al Bielek's brother.
And as it turned out, right, according to Al, that was his brother, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And they called him Junior when he got tired of being used by these controllers and mind manipulators. And so he thought of this big thing that was Bigfoot-like, and it manifested and just wrecked the place.
Yeah, that's we could go on and on and on. We're about out of time.
It is amazing. It is.
Now that we've created a lot of fear, how do we dispel it?
Well, that's simple. First of all, awareness. Always know when there's good and evil. I mean, nothing's changed since the beginning of time. There's good and there's evil. Nothing's changed. Don't be a fool and think evil doesn't exist, because you will not be happy for too long if you believe that, because it's not reality. So adhere to the good, follow the good. And the good is really the source of all of it, is the Almighty and His Holy Son, who we know is Jesus the Christ, and all of the good angels that follow Him. And so if we just learn to live virtuously, think the right thoughts all day long, say the right words all day long, do the right actions all day long, then you're protected. Simple as that. Treat your body like a temple, and I guarantee the protection. If you don't treat your body like the temple it is, the protection may not always be there for you. But if that temple, if the body's really in temple condition and you're living virtuously, then you have nothing to fear because you're not part of that reality anymore. You're dwelling in a higher, better place.
Yes, that's so true. Michael, I want to take a moment and ask our listening audience, those that are into prayer, to consider saying a prayer for Stan Romanek and his family in the Denver, Colorado area. Stan has been an abductee. He's a contactee. He's getting a lot of information that's really spellbinding, and is, I don't mean that in the same sense of what we're talking about. It's phenomenal information. A lot of truth is coming to him.
From the Denver operations, underground operations?
No. This is extraterrestrial contact that he's getting.
Okay.
And there are those that are trying to interfere with it because it's of a very high nature, we'll say.
Well, Don, let's pray for him. And also, I would ask everyone that prays to pray for everybody else that needs protection. All the good people that are trying to live their lives honest and cleanly and living in the truth. Let's pray for all of them and our country because we're all under an assault because the dark forces, which are very prevalent now, are trying to squash any bit of light that's existing. And so let's pray for all of them as well, because all of us and everybody else in this country and the planet that are good, God-loving people that just want to live in the truth and despise evil for what it is. And I'm all for praying for that 24/7, Don, and I try to do that as much as I can.
Well, Michael, we're out of time. As usual, it's been interesting. I think, you know, when we look at all these things going on, it's occasionally warrants reminding the listening audience of what the roots of all of this stuff spring from. This goes back quite a ways back,
even all the way back
in the days of the Druids. You know, I remarked a number of times.
Noah.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking about some of the magical societies. You don't hear much about the Druids yet. What they're practicing there in Montauk is comes from that time period. And
it's all done. It's just all coming back from a long, long time ago. It's a science. It's an art, and it's never been lost. It's been propagated down through the generations, through time, in the hands of very few, and those that are pursuing the good magic or the good science, the knowledge to create and to manifest, those that are trying to acquire that power, what Jesus called the kingdom of heaven, those that are trying to acquire it for godly purposes, to help creation, they're good, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's the evil people that want the power to use it to destroy creation and to control and manipulate his fellow man and just see them in misery all the time and suffering. That's evil, and they got to go. We just can't tolerate them. And then we can have this knowledge become more general to the public, or rather more available to the general public. And everyone can start benefiting, because once everyone learns what they are and what they are not, what the mind really is, and that we're really spiritual beings, and what that really means, and what the physical body really is, and how important it is,
yeah.
Then, boy, oh boy, the golden age will start to go. It'll start to take off.
Yep. Well, Michael, we've come to that time. I'm repeating myself here.
Don, always a pleasure.
I want to ask all the listening audience, anyone who is looking for something to strengthen their immune system, combat the effects of chemtrails and all the nasty bugs going around, all the rotten food that we get in the stores these days, and whatever ails you, check out Michael Anthony's private stock. Go to directlightproductions.com. Just click on sponsors. You'll see Michael's name there. Click on that. There's some contact information. I'm getting reports from everyone who has tried his stuff, and they are singing praises. So
that's
you
great
owe
to hear, Don. I love it.
Owe it to yourself.
Thank
and Michael, thank you. I'm going to say goodnight to our listening audience in a moment here. First, I would like to thank Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick for the sound, and most of all, the listening audience, you out there in internet radio land. Thank you for tuning into Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. You have a night filled with peace, love, and light. Don't forget to visit us tomorrow night. I'm going to be reading some of your emails, and you may want to take some notes. I've got a lot of good information from the listening audience. In the meantime, have a good night.